Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to What is Etiquette Anyways, the talk show, where we are making the world a polite place to live. We discuss a variety of topics and always enjoy interacting with our listeners. You may join the conversation live by calling 516-418-5894 or email your questions or comments to missdonnaspeaks@gmail.com. You may join the conversation live by calling 516-418-5894 or email your questions or comments to missdonnaspeaks@gmail.com. Now here's your host, John Maxwell, certified speaker, 25 plus years, master trainer, and coach, Miss Donna.
Anyway, the talk show. Today is Sunday, February 18, 2024, and we are broadcasting live from the city of Atlanta. And yes, we are celebrating. We're celebrating Black History, and this is our part three episode, so please stay tuned. Well, once again, the name of the show is What is Etiquette Anyway? And I always am very intentional about answering that question, especially for the listeners, the new listeners that we have joining us each week. So etiquette is just simply a set of rules of behavior. And by using these rules, people make living with each other more pleasant and comfortable. The word etiquette comes from an old French word, meaning ticket, and then it later came to mean a prescribed routine, especially of court behavior. Now, who we have to thank for this is Charles I and II of England, because what they did is they copied the rules of etiquette from the French court, and these rules became requirements of behavior everywhere. So kudos to Charles I and II. Well, once again, welcome everyone to Black History Part 3. We know that Black History really should be celebrated 365 days of the year, but we do also know that it's being celebrated or highlighted, I guess, if you will, during the month of February. And many times I still keep getting inquiries as to, you know, why is it only celebrated in February and it's the shortest amount of days and so on and so forth. And I'm sure you've probably, you know, those questions may have been posed to you or you may have discussed it, you know. But so I, just for the benefit of, in case you did not have an opportunity to listen to part one and part two, which I certainly suggest that you do that. It's some great information. I'd like to go over the background real quick again And so Dr. Carter G. Woodson, who is known as the father of Black history, he started the first Negro History Week in February of 1926 to ensure that the students would learn Black history. Now, it grew into Black History Month in 1976. And so in case you did not realize that, it started with a week, but you know what? It took 50 years to develop into, you know, Black History Month. Dr. Carter Godwin Woodson, he was an American historian, author, journalist, and the founder of the Association for the Study of African American Life and History, and he was one of the first scholars to study the history, including African American history. All right, and of course, he was born December 19, 1875, in New Canton, Virginia, and he passed April 3rd, 1950, in Shaw. Washington, D.C., at 74 years of age. And he was educated at Harvard University, Berea College, the University of Chicago as well. So that's really who we have to thank for, you know, Black History Month, which actually, again, began as Black History Week. Okay. And so I certainly, you know, do like to just kind of share a little bit of that. So in case that is what you were thinking, you know, why it is celebrated the shortest month, well, that is absolutely why. Okay. So I am so excited because there are so many, there's just so many facts that continue to be uncovered, and we're going to continue uncovering them. That we just, a lot of them you probably haven't heard of. As I continue to do research, it's so exciting, and I always find, you know, some new history facts that is just absolutely amazing and mind-blowing, because these are the types of, you know, facts that we don't learn in history class, period. Or, you know, if you are in a school where it does offer Black history or African American studies, if you will, you probably haven't heard some of these either. So listen, you can join the conversation. I would love to have you at 516-418-5894, 516-418-5894. You can send us a message to etiquetteladies@gmail.com. Okay, so know this is going to be a power-packed show. We're going to get right into it. And let me say this, too. I'm just kind of changing this up a little bit. Don't think it has to be a, you know, a national public figure or someone who is major in history. You tell us. You can also tell us about, you know, who your Black history hero or shero is. It could be a mother or father. It could be a grandparent or an aunt, uncle, sibling. So you can feel free to share that with us. I know last week I did share my mom, and she was our, you know, Black history hero, right, or shero, if you will. So. Feel free to certainly let us know that as well, okay? We'd certainly be glad to have you. All right, so I am going to bring on someone who is definitely no stranger to the What is Etiquette Anyway show. His name is Pastor Williams. And, you know, we all know him. He co-hosts quite a bit. How are you this evening, Pastor? How are you doing?
Fine, thank you, Donna.
Well, happy Sunday. I can. Happy Sunday to you.
Happy Sunday to you also.
Thank you so much. Yeah, so really, really excited here about continuing this discussion on Black History Facts. And then we'll have someone also coming up that we're going to be honoring for a recent award as well. So guys, we are going to come right to you, and I know you have some to share as well, Pastor, but what I'm going to do is see if I can get a couple callers on and let them, give them an opportunity to share and just kind of go from there. So, guys, I will identify you. I'll identify you by your last four digits of your phone number. That way you will know that I am certainly speaking with you, okay? The first one is the last four digits, 5963. The last four digits, 5963. Hello? Hello, 5963. Okay, so what we'll do is we're going to come back, guys. If you would, be sure to be ready when we come to you. I will announce the last four digits in your phone number. I will come back to that caller. We'll just circle back. We have quite a few on the switchboard right now, so I want to just kind of keep going, and then again, I will certainly circle back. All right, so let's go to, let's see, the last four digits are 0468, the last four digits, 0468. Okay, I am not hearing anyone, and what we'll do is circle back again. So let me go to, I'll just start with, our special honoree here that we're going to speak with, and she is certainly no stranger to the show. Hey, Dr. Monica, how are you?
Hello, 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 my sister. How are you?
I am doing well. Happy Sunday to you.
Happy Sunday, blessed Lent, and all of those things.
Yes, yes, yes. So, and again, congratulations on your latest award. And I just want you to share a little bit about, you know, your award and how you came to receive the award, what it was like, and whatever you would like to share. I'm just so excited for you.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you so much. And it was for my denomination, my church, the AME Church, and that's the African Methodist Episcopal, has colleges and seminaries around the country. And here it is Turner Seminary, comparable mm-hmm. to Candler, Columbia, and others. And so I attended there 20 years ago this year, 2004. And in addition to God blessing me so that I finished at the top of my class, I have been since then writing consistently through the various media of our church, and have just pretty much over the years made some strides in articles for Christian education, for church school on the connectional level, because we are a connectional church. We are all over the world. And when we are elevated from, say, a city or a local district to, let's say, a district in a region or in a part of the country, to the entire connection, then you get a little bit more attention. So when I became one of the editors for our church school publication that goes around the world, then that, you know, put me, I guess, on a different level. So after 20 years, the Hall of Fame of Turner Seminary inducted me and recognized me as one of its members. And it wasn't something that I was expecting. They've been doing the Hall of Fame, I think, for 10 years. And then this was the 30th celebration of Turner's Founders Day and anniversary, so to speak. So it was two or three different celebrations. But it was the 10th class, Hall of Fame class. And I was one of the inductees. So it was a gala that was held a week before last. It was wonderful. I really enjoyed it. It was on Tuesday, and it was a wonderful experience.
That
we got
so
to get dressed up. We get a gown, because I don't get to wear gowns often anymore, but this was black tie, so I was able to wear a gown,
yeah.
And that
yeah,
was exciting.
Yeah, I saw the photos, and they were amazing, guys, amazing. Yeah, it was a beautiful, beautiful gown. You looked very regal. And congratulations. Oh, my goodness. Congratulations to you. And, of course, certainly heard that you were at the top of your class as well. And I just think that is wonderful. And I'm sure that Pastor Williams wants to say something, offer some comments about that too. Pastor Williams, so what do you think about that? I know you know the Reverend Dr. Monica as well.
Well, based upon my contact with Dr. Monica, I certainly
Hello, Dr.
Hello,
how are
Dr.
you?
Monica.
What a surprise.
It's good to be on a program with you, and let me begin by saying thank you again for your input and constructive criticism regarding my book, and I'm certainly glad to hear of the achievement and honor that you have received, and I know it was well deserved.
To God be glory. Thank you so much, and it was a pleasure, of course, working with you. Editing is a task in and of itself, and I certainly thank God for the gift, but when you have a client that is easy to work with or who is humble enough to accept that constructive criticism, makes the job much easier. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yes, so wonderful. Oh, my goodness. Well, again, congratulations. And didn't know if you wanted to talk about any other Black history fact, or just kind of listen in, and because we've got a lot of them that are just amazing. I know we'll do a little trivia too, like we've done.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. But one of the things that we've done at our church, and that is because as an AMEs, you know, we do have I wouldn't say that it's a primary part of our platform, but it is one of our priorities, and that is social action. And most of the larger or more organized churches do have a social action committee. And one of the things that we've done is try to share the work of our foremothers and forefathers, because Alan is not the only one, and one of my favorite is the Reverend Jerenna Lee. And because she was the first Black preacher, female Black preacher that we know of that's in recorded history of any denomination, and certainly of ours, and because during the late 17 and early 1800s, she stood alone as a woman who wanted to be ordained. It's just a name that I think we should keep lifting. And so among all the various denominations, she is one that we try to give some honor to each year, and her birthday is in February, so it really makes her a special name to remember. She was given posthumously the license to preach so that she could be referred to as the Reverend, and I have mentioned this almost in every show or every opportunity I could when someone asked me about Black history. So I just want the people to know about Jerenna, J-A-R-E-N-A, Lee, L-E-E. Look her up. There's only basically one picture in history of her. You'll see her sort of in a portrait with her cap on, and she's dressed very much like the late 17, early 1800s. And she was married. She went to Bishop Allen, who's our first bishop, but he was not able to ordain her because of the law at that time. And, of course, since then that's been changed. But she's the shoulders on which we stand, those of us who are female clergy and women of the cloth in the AME Church.
Amazing. I know we've talked a little bit about, you know, what a challenge, you know, it was for women. And Pastor, so what do you think about that as well, Pastor Williams? Because I know that you're familiar with somewhat of the challenge it was for women to actually preach and certainly to be, you know, licensed to do so. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, this is the first I've heard of this woman, but certainly considering the time frame in which she lived, it's certainly representative of what it means to be a pioneer in a given field. And when we think that women clergy were not readily accepted by any of the Protestant groups in that time period, it is amazing that the AME recognized her and by giving her this license to preach. Certainly the Baptists, the Pentecostals, none of them were in agreement with women to preach until the 20th century, and then it was still limited. The Church of God in Christ would not ordain women up until, I'm going to say, the 70s. But yet, but the ironic thing was that the Church of God in Christ would designate or would refer to women as missionaries, not preachers, but as missionaries. And with that title, they were allowed to preach, but not from the pulpit. They had to preach down on the floor. And I can remember going to the Church of God in Christ. I can remember Church of God in Christ women preachers coming to our church. And, yes, they were very careful to follow those parameters at that point of time. So certainly this minister that Dr. Monica referred to certainly was a pioneer in the context of women in clergy in the United States. Not only her color, not only her ethnicity, but for the time period in which she lived. And so I am surprised. I'm surprised that the AME hasn't named the school after her or named something.
Oh, seminary or something, yeah. We might need to do that in the next general conference. But I was trying to remember which Baptist it is that still doesn't ordain women. Do you remember which one it is?
Oh, yes. The Southern Baptists do not ordain
Southern,
women.
Okay. It's the Southern Baptists.
Because
I know there was a big divisive, if not, maybe not, it didn't divide the church yet, but there was, I understand, a huge and very extensive debate about it.
The last time
they had a conference, I don't remember all of the details. I just remember that was one issue, and the other issue was whether or not women, people of the same gender could marry.
Yeah.
And that there was, I think the United Methodist Church lost some churches over that issue. But the issue of women not preaching, women being pastors, that was a big debate. So it's still happening today. That is very true. Absolutely.
Yes. Well, there was a debate over that in the 1990s and within the Southern Baptist group. And out of that came the Cooperative Baptists. A number of churches left the Southern Baptists over that issue of ordination of women.
Of women. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that impacted the Southern Baptists significantly. And so that issue has been going on for, that's a current or contemporary issue. The Southern Baptists were... one of the Presbyterian groups, Presbyterian Church of America, but I'll just say, one of the major Presbyterian groups still do not ordain women.
And I would think they would be progressive.
The more conservative, I'll say it this way, that doesn't hold true in all cases, but I'm going to say, generally speaking, the more conservative churches are the ones that resist, are those who are not in agreement with the ordination of women. So historically, it all hangs on how you interpret the Apostle Paul, and some want to take it very literally, and then others have found ways to take a different to it. Mm. So within the Pentecostal churches, from almost the very beginning of the Pentecostal churches in the 20th century, starting with the Azusa Revival in Los Angeles in 1906. There, women have played a prominent role in Pentecostal churches, both white and black, throughout the United States. And I have to say that I grew up under a black pastor, woman pastor, so it I never found it to be it. I wasn't exposed to all the do's and don'ts and all of the arguments about the issue. But there were a number of black women who were, at least if not pastors, were preachers in their respective denominations. And then if you also want to look at the church, the Four Square Church, which was created in Los Angeles, Amy Simple McPherson was the founder of that church, and that is one of the larger white Pentecostal groups in the United States today. So they were really, Amy was the first woman to found a religious denomination, and one that has continued on to the present time.
All right. Thank you guys so much. That's very interesting. Very interesting.
So there's a lot said about the issue.
Yeah, how about that? Yeah.
And she should have started a conversation about black religion and history, should she? We could talk all night about that.
That's right.
Which is very good. Thank you all so much. Guys, I do see you on, and we are going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to go to some of our additional callers, and we're going to jump into some additional facts. You are listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. This is Black History Part 2, and know that you are learning quite a bit. So don't go away. Stay tuned, and we will be right back in just a moment, okay?
Introducing the new book, Black and White Piano Keys, Challenges of a Black Man Living in a White Context by Emmanuel L. Williams. This is a phenomenal story of a black man and his courageous journey of unbelievable experiences and how through an unyielding faith in Jesus Christ, he was able to navigate from the 1930s to the present. As you read this book and travel on his journey throughout the pages through the various stages of his life, you will be encouraged, entertained, and inspired. Emmanuel found out that through his faith in God, self-discipline, and hard work, he could do anything he put his mind to despite the challenges he faced, and so can you. Wouldn't you like to know how he did this? Go to www.courteouspublications.com. That's www.courteouspublications.com. Click books to see his book signing schedule or go to amazon.com to secure your copy today. Black and White Piano Keys, Challenges of a Black Man Living in a White Context by Emmanuel L. Williams.
There's something you can do right now that will ease the pain of arthritis in years to come. By remembering the Arthritis Foundation in your will, you can help us find ways to stop this serious, often crippling disease, a disease that affects one in every 7 Americans. Call the Arthritis Foundation at 1-800-283-7800, 1-800-283-7800. It's time we took arthritis seriously.
Have you ever dreamed of becoming an author? You've wanted to write a book but are not sure of how to get started? Or perhaps you want to write a book but you hate writing? The truth is, most of us have information and testimonials inside of us that need to be shared. Did you know that reading about your story can possibly change the trajectory of someone's life for the good? People are waiting and needing to be guided, directed, inspired, and encouraged. And this can happen just from reading your story. CourteousPublications.com can help you write your book and get it out. We offer virtual workshops and one-on-one coaching sessions. And if you don't want to write it yourself, we can write it for you. For more information, go to CourteousPublications.com. That's CourteousPublications.com. CourteousPublications.com. Or you can send an email to CourteousPublications1@gmail.com. We help want-to-be authors write books.
Hello, everyone. Do you want to be inspired and encouraged? Listen up. I want to tell you about a new and exciting book called My Forever Affirmations Book and Journal, Positive Thoughts for All Ages by Donna Paige Riley. Have you or someone you know ever struggled with low self-esteem or self-worth? Been bullied? Felt like giving up on something that seems too hard to accomplish? Get nervous about taking a test for school? Feel like quitting? Feel self-conscious? If you answered yes to any of these questions, you will want to purchase a copy of My Forever Affirmations book and journal. My Forever Affirmations is a book and journal of quick, to the point, powerful, encouraging, positive thoughts and poems that will keep you encouraged no matter your age or what you're facing. There's also room to write your personal thoughts. We all need to be encouraged in positive ways, don't we? After reciting these affirmations, you are sure to feel good or better about yourself. You will be encouraged. Hurry, order now. Copies are limited. Go to www.amazon.com. Type in My Forever Affirmations by Donna Paige Riley. Again, go to www.amazon.com. Type in My Forever Affirmations by Donna Paige Riley and secure your copies. You'll be so glad you did.
You are listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. You may join the conversation by calling 516-418-5894 or email your questions or comments to missdonnaspeaks@gmail.com. Now back to the show.
Okay, we are back. We are celebrating Black History. This is our part three episode. I am going to certainly do all I do the best that I can by making sure that I share the messages that you are sending. In addition to, we're going to try to get the rest of our callers on and also share a few facts. And something that I did do that I did not do, my apologies, that I did the previous two shows was to give you a little bit of trivia, right? So I'm just going to give you just a couple and see if you know who this is. Okay, this person was an American inventor, businessman, and community leader. His most notable inventions were a type of a three-way traffic light and a protective smoke hood, notably used in a 1916 tunnel construction disaster rescue. In addition, he also revolutionized road safety with the traffic light, streamlining traffic flow and preventing accidents. And he was born March 4th, 1877, and he passed away July 27th, 1963. So this is someone who actually, he's an inventor. He invented two different inventions. Okay, so I'm going to let you just think about that for a minute to see maybe if someone may know who that is. Let me go ahead and start picking up some of our other callers again. I will identify you by the last four digits in your phone number, and you'll know that I'm referring to you. So I'm coming to 5963, the last four digits, 5963. Hello. Okay, so we'll try to circle back again. Let me go to the last four digits of this number. It is 0478. 0478. Hello.
Hi, I'm just listening and learning. I'm just listening and learning. I think of the generations before that have built and passed on the baton. Whether it was to do great things in in society or science. So, but overall, I called in so I could listen and learn.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for that, and thanks for your comment. Absolutely, yeah. And it is about passing the baton, right?
Yes,
especially to our next generation.
Building that foundation.
Yeah, building foundation, absolutely, yes. Thank you so much. And, you're all always welcome to certainly to listen and participate. Thanks again. All right, so does anybody know from the two clues I gave you about the inventor, who that might be that invented the three-way traffic light in addition to...
Donna, I cheated. I already looked it up. Sorry.
Well, at least you're being honest, huh? So who'd you find? What's his name?
Garrett Morgan.
Yes, Garrett Augustus Morgan Sr., absolutely correct, yeah. So he invented two just phenomenal, and I'm amazing, absolutely amazing. Of course, with the apparatus that he created, of course, we know that it certainly saves lives during fires, providing, vital breathing apparatus for both firefighters and civilians. So, yeah, absolutely amazing. Let's talk a little bit about Mary Van Britten Brown. She was born October 30th, 1922, and she passed February 2nd, 1999, at the age of 76. Tell you a little bit about Mary. Mary Van Britten Brown was an American nurse and innovator. In 1966, she invented a video home security system along with her husband, Albert Brown, who was an electronics technician. In the same year, they applied for a patent for their innovative security system, which was granted in 1969. She and her husband actually pioneered the home security systems, which, offers peace of mind and, with the innovative surveillance technology. Now, when I found this, I was just really floored because you only hear of them, I'm not going to mention them, are the major, home security surveillance companies, but I just had never heard of her before. And again, guys, if you want to look some of these people up, Mary Van Britten Brown is her name, which is just absolutely amazing to me. So let's see. Let me do another trivia, and then I'm going to go. I'll circle back to the phones, and then I also want to read a couple of messages that you guys are sending us. And in case you are just joining, you're listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. We're talking about Black history, and we are certainly uncovering some facts that you may or may not even heard of before, okay? All right, for the people out there that love to play golf, okay, I want to tell you about Dr. George Franklin Grant. Okay. And again, Dr. George Franklin Grant, he was born in 1846, and he passed away in 1910. But listen, he is known, you know, for really elevating the game of golf with his invention of the wooden golf tee. Okay, the wooden golf tee, which simplifies, you know, the tee off for the players. And he was just, you know, searching for a better method. So he came up with the invention that would forever change the game of golf. And already a patented inventor, when he did that on December 12, 1899, he received a U.S. patent, a number which was 638920, the first patent for a wooden golf tee. Pastor, are you familiar with him? Have you ever heard of him?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, in the world of golf. Yeah.
Yeah,
Dr. George Franklin Grant. And I'm just kudos out to these inventors. And guys, again, I am really hoping that you're having an opportunity to learn something new. I mean, you know, Black people have been inventing and creating forever, but, you know, oftentimes we don't hear about it. So just a quick kudos out to the ones that we've covered thus far. I'm going to go back to the phones. And, guys, here again, I will identify you by the last four digits of your phone number, and you'll know I'm speaking with you. 7782, the last four digits, 7782. Hello? 7782, okay. Let's go back to 5963, the last four digits, 5963. Hello? Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
Uh-oh. Let me go back. Okay, hello.
Hello, can you hear me? Hi.
Yes, now we can. How are you?
Fine, been trying to, excuse me, get through to you. But it kept saying muting and unmuting, muting and unmuting.
Okay, thank you for letting me know that. See what's going on with that. So what would you like to share on the show this evening?
Well, I would. I would like to share a quick little story, if you don't mind. Excuse me. Mind me reading it. It was something that a friend sent me from the Black History HBCU calendar, and it's about a Latasha Harlins. Have you heard her name before?
I am not sure I have. So I'm looking forward to hearing about her.
Okay. In 1991, at the age of 15, Latasha Harlan went to her local Korean-owned food mart and never made it out. The store owner's wife, her name was Sun Jadu, mistook her for trying to steal a bottle of orange juice, and a minor struggle took place. The store owner grabbed the young lady down, and she ran and got her gun. She the young lady got up, picked up the bottle of orange juice and placed it on the counter and began to walk out of the store. The lady shot her in the back of the head, and she was only 3 feet away from the young lady, which, of course, it killed her immediately. During the trial and all, the owner of the store claimed self-defense, but there were two eyewitnesses in the store and the security camera also showed that she was incorrect. The jury convicted the woman and advised the judge to go with a maximum sentence of 16 years. Store owner walked away with 400 hours of community service, 5 years probation, and a $500 fine. The judge said that the woman acted inappropriately, but her actions were justified. And, excuse me, that the young Latasha was the criminal. And if she had still been alive, she would have been in court for trying to steal a bottle of orange juice. The slaughter of Latasha Harlins is one of the major factors in the initiating of the L.A. riots. We only hear about the Rodney King, but she is the original Latasha Harlins. Tupac had an affinity for Latasha and has mentioned her in several songs, as well as dedicated the iconic song Keep Your Head Up to Latasha. So today we say Latasha Harlins' name and we claim her as a pillar, whether they realize it or not. And today someone has heard her story. I couldn't believe when I read that someone would think that someone's going to try and steal a bottle of orange juice. And she attacked the girl, she didn't give the child a chance to even get to the counter for bottles. So since that happened, the girl did what I think was an honorable thing, was to just place it on the counter and to walk out of the store. The woman shot her. I think this was just so unfair, and what she was sentenced with was just ridiculous. I don't know how anyone else feels about it, but there are so many injustices that have occurred to young people in our country here that has not been addressed appropriately. So I just wanted to share that little tidbit with you all so that we can remember Latasha Harlins.
Latasha Harlins. Wow. Thank you for sharing that. No, I had no idea that took place. It sounds very demonic to me with what she did to her. And just so sad. And like you said, yeah, very unfair. And how she basically... This lady received a slap on the wrist, it sounds like.
Exactly, and that was it.
Wow.
A slap on the wrist.
Yeah, that's a tough one to hear, but thank you so much, because like you said, there are so many that we just don't, you know, we don't hear about, and they don't really get receive the attention that they should, especially, you know, now days. But I'm so glad, and you said someone from one of the HBCUs sent that to you to share. Wow, thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Father Robin was the catalyst, and so he wasn't the only catalyst, and that's something to know.
That's something to know, exactly. That's what I was thinking, too. In a lot of cases of things that have happened in our country, there's always been someone before the person who we actually hear about. That seemingly never gets mentioned.
Yeah, that is really, really interesting. And that is very true. I know that I think it may have been a part one episode that I actually spoke about Claudette Colvin. The young lady that actually she was one of the first she was a teenager, if I recall. She was a teenager, and she refused to give up her seat. And so, you know, that actually happened, you know, prior to Ms. Rosa Parks. And she was a youth. In fact, she was 15 years old, I do believe. And wow. Yeah. Just, you know, our youth is just really sad to hear that, but necessary to hear. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. And and guys, in case you are just joining us, you are listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. We're talking about Black history. We're talking about, you know, real history and facts. I do want to read a couple messages that I've received as I invited you all to share them. One says, "Hi, Ms. Donna, my family and I are enjoying your Black history series. I would like to honor my dad because he raised three daughters. As a single dad, my mom passed away when I was 9 years old. Thank you for allowing me to honor him." Sarai in Dunwoody. Thank you, Sarai, for sharing that you are honoring your dad. And, yeah, I did say earlier that, yes, you know, we are welcoming you to, you know, share in the conversation, and it doesn't have to necessarily be anyone in, you know, nationally known in history or whether past or present, but it could be someone in your own family or someone who you look up to as your shiro or your hero as well. Here's one. It says, "Miss Donna, I want to say that my grandma is Black history maker in our family. She raised four of her grandchildren, and they are all doing very well. Her name is Maggie Clark." Thank you, Nancy in Miami. Thank you, Nancy, for sharing that. And certainly kudos out to your grandma, Maggie. Thank you so much. Let's see. There's one other one here. "Ms. Donna, may I shout out my shiro, my grandma, Kathleen Mercer. Happy Black History." And this is from Desiree. So, Kathleen, you know, happy Black History Month and being the shiro of the family, okay? So, yeah, guys, I want to also go back and see if we can pick up just a few more. Let's see here. All right, let's talk a little bit about we're going to do this one as a trivia. Okay, I'm going to tell you a little bit about this person and see if you can let me know who you think it is, maybe. Okay, so he was the second African-American to be issued a patent, okay? He was a successful farmer who patented two inventions, okay? One, it was a corn planter, and number two, a cotton planter. Both of his inventions greatly increased efficiency on the farm by limiting labor and time. This increased crop yields with this particular innovative device. Does anybody have any idea who that may have been? Okay, he invented two inventions, one corn planter and cotton planter. That was inventor Henry Blair. Henry Blair. Anyone heard of him? That's on the line.
I remember his name, but he's not one of the more prevalent ones, because as soon as you said farmer, I thought Carver. And then when you mentioned the actual inventions, I knew that wasn't him. So I do remember Blair's name, though.
Yeah, Henry Blair. Let's see. All right, let me tell you a little bit about Elijah J. McCoy. His family escaped slavery via the Underground Railroad, and he would go on to be one of the most prolific Canadian-American inventors of his time, with 57 U.S. patents, drawn to devices to make travel via the steam locomotive more efficient and safe. It used to be that the trains had to stop every 30 minutes to have lubricants applied by hand to their axles and other moving parts. In 1872, McCoy invented a device that used steam pressure to automatically lubricate parts of a train engine while it was in motion. However, due to its ingeniously simple design, other railroads began creating similar versions. Historians believe that because McCoy's version of the oil drip cup was the most effective, engineers began using and are asking for the real McCoy to avoid inferior products. Now, is that amazing? Had anyone heard of him before?
I've heard of him, but I didn't remember his name.
Yeah, Elijah J. McCoy. So,
the real McCoy was named after, inspired by.
Right. That's right, the real McCoy. Mm-hmm. So, guys, I just truly hope that you are enjoying, learning about just so many different people that we just haven't learned about in history, and just, you know, many have just not heard of them at all. And Pastor Williams, I know you wanted to talk about, tell us about one of our musical giants.
Well, yes, because this was someone who lived during my lifetime, and certainly I believe my style of playing was influenced by him, and this is, of course, Andre Crouch, who was born in 1942 in California, and his father operated a dry cleaning store and also was a minister with the Church of God in Christ. And Andre began playing at age 11, and what was unique about his introduction to music was that his father told him to go up to the piano and play. He had never had a lesson or been instructed on the piano, and that was the beginning of Andre learning how to play the piano. Quickly, he began playing for the services at his father's church, and in 1965 formed a singing group known as Andre Crouch, the Kojic Singers, Church of God in Christ Singers, and in 1965 he formed the group Andre Crouch and His Disciples. And from then, his career just blossomed throughout the United States, his career and his ministry. He became known as the father of modern gospel music, and he reigned for 5 decades, serving as a author, as a musician, as a singer, as a composer, and as a producer. He recorded over 100 singles and more than 45 albums. He received, in 1980, he received the NAACP Image Award for Outstanding Gospel Artist, and he won a total of 8 Grammy Awards. The songs that, now, from my perspective, and also this was mentioned in Google, the major...
And Pastor, I'm sorry. Can I interrupt you just for a moment? Guys, those of you that are streaming live, you're going to lose us in about 50 seconds. However, you will be able to go back and listen to this episode in its entirety, as it will certainly archive. So just wanted to let you know, in case you are streaming live and it kind of goes blank, then you will know why, okay? So I do want him to finish speaking about Andre. And keep in mind that we will continue our conversation in part 4 on next Sunday. Okay, so go right ahead, Pastor, and finish about Andre.
Yeah.
Wow.
Some of the songs that he composed was The Blood Will Never Lose Its Power, To God Be the Glory, Soon and Very Soon, Through It All, Can't Nobody Do Me Like Jesus, and Take Me Back. But not only did he produce religious music and it appeared in concerts and churches throughout the United States, he also collaborated with popular artists and wrote music for films, to include the film Color Purple and The Lion King. And he was the go-to producer for superstars who wanted gospel music sounds in their recordings. And as I said, his career spanned from 1966 to 2014, and he died in January 2015. What I was going to say also was the major contribution from my perspective as a musician is that prior to his coming of age, prior to him beginning his ministry and profession, music basically was segregated in this sense. There was a style of music that was sung and practiced in the black church, and a style of music that was characteristic of the white church. When Andre came on the scene, he created his songs, and especially the ones that I just mentioned, his composition, his songs that he composed, crossed color lines and inch and made it possible for both white and black churches to sing some of the same music, and they are still doing that today. If you look in the newest hymnals that are out, you're going to find a number of the songs that Andre wrote included in there. He's one of the few black gospel musicians who impacted both the black and the white community.
Wow, thank you so much for sharing. I certainly enjoy his music. I didn't realize he had the connections also to the Color Purple and Lion King. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then before he died, he collaborated with the Winans. I'd let the church say amen, and that's almost a classic now, just like
yes.
Oh,
in fact, that was on the chart. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was
absolutely
on the charts for over a year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love
and
that
song. And
The
Blood on Loser Power is a classic hymn. It is a hymn of the church across denominations. And you would have thought it was a hymn from the early times when it could be declared a hymn for all of us to use and would not have had any restrictions with copyright. But he actually was the one to write it. And when I saw that, I was so surprised, because I thought it was one of the classical writers and composers.
Yeah.
And nope, it was Crouch.
Wow.
But we'll never lose the power. It reaches to the highest.
I love singing that song when I was in choir. I love singing that. Yes. Wow. Well, oh my goodness, I'm just really excited because we've covered a lot of information this evening. We will continue again on next Sunday. I do want to ask Reverend Dr. Monica here if she would kindly just share a little bit about her. She also has a podcast, and if you want to share a little bit about your podcast, Monica, and maybe how people can listen to that, that would be great.
Yeah, Sister Sacred, spelled Sista, S-I-S-T-A-H. If you have a player, a podcast player, or a music app such as Spotify, and there are a number of others, then you should be able to research it. That's the best way, just to look for Sista Sacred, and then you can click on our site, and we will be on tomorrow night around 9 o'clock. But then all of our shows are archived. So just as you can come back to this home to any of our shows. And we did do Heroes and Heroes last week. Tomorrow we'll be talking about love relationships and single women, single Christian women. So that should be an interesting conversation.
Yeah, looking forward to that.
So thank you for this opportunity, though. I want to say that before I hang up, that, you know, to talk about Black history in religion and in the church is a great opportunity for us, because you don't often hear that particular genre. Most of us will follow civil rights, maybe, and some of them may be faith leaders. And then, of course, entertainers and inventors. Mm-hmm. But there are quite a lot of icons in the religious vocation, the Black church. So I'm glad we were able to share some of those tonight.
Yeah, I was definitely committed to making sure that I you know, kind of changed that up. Because they're, you know, they're so, you know, there's so many that are current, and, you know, like you, when I, knowing you and knowing the type of spirit that you have, and was so excited when I learned that you were going to be receiving the award. My first thought was, okay, I want to honor her as well. So, but yeah, you're right. Oftentimes when we hear of Black history, you know, we hear, you know, the mainstream, you know, history makers. And I certainly wanted to switch that up, because, you know, in my opinion, we're all mainstream history makers. And when we, you know, when we contribute, you know, I think we're all trying to contribute and leave some type of mark and add value to others. And so I just believe that is what is so important. And for those, and that's why I was so excited about also sharing so many other people that I found that I had not even heard about, and to sharing that information, because it's so much. And there's so much that I actually did not even have an opportunity to share, but I will be sharing on next week. So thank you. Thank you all so much. I certainly want to applaud you for you know, participating and for sharing as well. And I want to always thank, you know, those of you who reach out to us via either, you know, making calling us to participate live or sending us messages. Thank you so much for that. We certainly don't take that lightly at all, okay? And then, of course, for the loyal listeners that have listened for years, and in addition to those, it may be your first time, I want to welcome you as well. Also, if you have an etiquette topic or that you would like to hear us discuss, so please feel free to let me know. We can see if we can cover that in the future. And some people say, well, I don't understand how you do different topics. Well, etiquette actually encompasses every area of our life. So that's why, you know, so many different topics actually are such a wonderful fit for us. And we appreciate, too, telling your friends and family about us, invite them to listen, trying to make the world a polite place to live, and knowing that you can only do that one person at a time and with your help. And so I appreciate when you do that. And, of course, go back to the show as well and just download it. You can listen to it at your leisure and share that information as well if you would. That would be great. Never tire of loyalty and kindness. Hold these virtues tightly. Write them deep within your heart. And that's one of my favorite proverbs, which is Proverbs 3:3. And of course, you know, I always suggest that you please, you know, the golden rule is do unto others as you would have them do unto you, or treat others the way you want to be treated. Okay. And please make sure that you're intentional about initiating acts of kindness. Okay. And, thank you all again for joining us. I certainly do appreciate it. And looking forward to next week. You can certainly feel free to, you know, to join live as well, and let us know who you would like to celebrate as we continue our conversation about Black history and the contributions that we are making. You know, it's just so very important. Also, if you would, certainly share the episodes, especially with your youth and young people, as well, as a caller mentioned earlier, is, you know, it's about passing the baton. And part of that passing the baton is passing and sharing knowledge, okay, that you are, you know, that you're learning. So you certainly would appreciate if you would do that as well. Again, we will continue next week with Black History Part 4, and all are welcome certainly to join us, and appreciate you hanging. I know we ran over a little bit this evening, and certainly do appreciate you guys, all right? So, again, good night. Take care. God bless.
Thanks for listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. Please join us again next time as we will discuss another exciting topic.